This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
And Real Ketones Keto Energy Shots.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue Sports Map Radio. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, we'd love to hear from you. At Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Lee Ellis will join us from The Athletic. We'll talk about the NBA championship that now is in the hands of the Los Angeles Lakers for the 17th time. Also get to more from the NFL yesterday, including the injury to Dak Prescott that seems to have kind of galvanized everybody to that full understanding of what happened this offseason, not securing that long-term deal and what it means for his future. Also, the return of Alex Smith, which was very inspirational. But in between, you've got some games that had some that are going to have some impact down the road. We'll get to that coming up. Look, there's going to be a conversation about LeBron's legacy in the next couple of days. It's inevitable. It was going to happen if you were following the NBA playoffs and saw the Lakers sort of heading towards the direction of winning a championship, that's what it was going to be. You're already going to start seeing articles about greatest of all time and making an argument. LeBron James has landed a title in every team he's moved to within a two-year window. First time he went down to Miami, they lost to Dallas, but then won the next year against Oklahoma City. Same with Cleveland. Got to Cleveland and then won the, lost in 2015, won the title in 2016. Now, in his second year with Los Angeles, with the Lakers, he has delivered a championship. When we go by the notion of what every athlete ever tells us, which is winning titles is very, very difficult. It requires so many things to go right. It requires a certain unity. It requires certain chemistry. It requires coaching. Role players have to be the role players that you designate them to be. All of these things that we keep hearing over and over again, that they're just not easy. Then what do we make of LeBron being able to deliver these things to these franchises 2 years after he gets there? The ability to find the right teammates. Not every super team wins a championship, and there might have been better constructed super teams. But instead of winning six over an eight-year span or five over a period of good period of time, LeBron has found a way to deliver four championships, two with Miami, one with Cleveland, and one with the Lakers, by getting there and establishing who he is and putting the team around him that is what he wants. If it's so hard to do that, he's found a way to do it relatively quickly and easily. We'll talk more about that coming up as we continue, but getting into the good, the bad, and the dumb next.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Brought to you by Real Ketones Keto Energy Shots. Sustained energy without the sugar, jitters, or crash. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, it's time for the good, the bad, and the dumb. And before we do that, I just want to say, by the way, you're as a Laker fan, congratulations. I should congratulate fans who win championships.
That's right. Yay, Moss.
Yeah, that's right. Feeling pretty good today.
But save that congratulations. We might be talking about them in a little bit.
All right. So, nevertheless, let's get to the good of the day.
The good of the day. I kind of got a double bonus for us.
All right.
For the good of the day, because it's Monday. You know, we all want to feel good on a Monday.
Absolutely.
But first, I got to start off with another championship that happened yesterday.
Yes.
Rafa Nadal.
Yeah!
Won his 13th French Open title.
I didn't even know the French Open was going on.
No one did. It's okay.
I'm so sorry.
But he won his 13th French Open title, and not against a slack opponent. He won against Novak Djokovic.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's like, I don't know if Novak is number one or Rafa is number one. I don't know who knows about the rankings right now. But we know that these are two great tennis players. And Rafa won. Not only was it his 13th French Open, but it's his 20th Grand Slam title overall, which puts him in a tie with Roger Federer. As having
okay,
the most Grand Slam titles.
That's
of all
awesome.
Time.
That's right.
So I just thought, you know what? Hey, I like it.
I know. I have a friend who posts a lot of tennis stuff, and I didn't even know the French Open was going down. I felt so guilty. I was like,
"No, it's hey, you know what? You're not alone.
It's too much. I got too much."
I woke up Sunday morning going, "Oh, look, he won a title." I had plenty of time to watch it.
Would that mean that if my wife and I were just one of those families that had nine kids, I'd be like, well, I can only handle like five. So four of you have got to go.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like four of you got to be on your own. I don't know, feed yourselves or find a way to earn some money, but I can only handle five.
The sad thing is that that match was played early enough in the morning that we all could have been watching.
That's true. Yeah. They get like here, it's in France. It's early. Go. Yeah. Take it.
You know, but none of us were.
No.
But nonetheless, congratulations, Rafa Nadal. What I found funny is that we kind of consider Roger Federer to be the greatest player ever, right?
Right, yeah, exactly.
And now Rafa Nadal's tied with him.
He's on that list. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he's going to go down as the greatest French Open or clay
right.
court tennis player ever.
Who
so.
Was it? Tennis player. Yeah. When real quick before we move on, who was the big French Open guy when we were growing up? Was it Jim Courier that seemed to win on the clay a lot?
I thought it was.
Maybe it was.
Maybe. I don't know.
I remember, like, when I was in high school, Michael Chang won.
Yeah.
Remember him? Like,
but he won a U.S. Open.
Yeah. But I think Courier was good on the clay.
Was he good on clay?
I don't know. But there was,
Bjorn Borg.
It's like whoever is good on clay, they win a bunch of these French Opens because a lot of the tennis players who are really good are like, look, I may get one or two out of this, but it ain't my thing. Clay is not my thing because it's sliding. It's a different game.
Yep.
I can play it because I'm one of the best tennis players in the world, but it ain't my thing. So
I think Nadal has like more than double.
Yeah,
the next that's his game. He has them all.
Yeah,
that's his bread and butter.
He's complete, but you got to win that. You know, he wins a lot of that French Open stuff. What's the other good? Or
the other good is, and you know, this is a personal thing for me, but I saw a little trailer yesterday of a new TV show coming out, and you know, you and I talk about it often how they're rebooting or remaking and redoing old shows and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's one that I am actually excited for, and that's Animaniacs. Do you remember that cartoon?
I do. That had so much adult humor in it.
Yes. Well, they're coming back.
Really?
With brand new episodes.
All right.
It's coming to Hulu late November. But the movie trailer they did is a total Jurassic Park theme. It's funny. And it just shows you what is to come. And
all right.
And the responses on Twitter were awesome. People were like, oh, God, you know, I hope it doesn't get too political. And it's like, you don't know Animaniacs.
Yeah, Animaniacs will totally do it.
They're going to go all over the place. So it should be fun, but it's going to be good, wholesome, fun humor.
Fantastic. That's good. That's good. All right, what's the bad of the day?
I'm going to butcher this name. I know I am. But it's Impa Kasangana. Kasangane.
I'll take your word for it.
He'll probably become the next viral meme gif after taking that brutal spin kick, which was floated all over social media yesterday.
That's right. That's right.
From Joaquin Buckley. We got to give Joaquin Buckley credit.
Okay.
So if you didn't see it, Joaquin Buckley goes for like a kick to the chest or something, and Impa grabs his ankle. And usually that's, that'd probably be dangerous. I mean, I've done that to my kids. I'm like, I have you now. But Joaquin just turns that. Holding his ankle into a vicious spin kick that just knocks Impa out cold.
Yeah.
And I could see that being used as a gif everywhere, a meme everywhere. Like when he connects, you know, how they always have like, it's like, the Falcons, are the person getting kicked and the Cowboys were the one kicking type of thing. You know, I could just see that happening now. But it was a bad. I mean, it's the greatest. I think they put it down as like one of the greatest knockouts in UFC history.
I can absolutely see that. Absolutely.
But it was brutal, and it was all over. I mean, check it out.
I did see that. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day. You mentioned, hey, congratulations, Laker fans. I got to give it back to Laker fans as being the dumb of the day.
Why is Laker fan being
the
dumb of the day?
Streets. Partying it up all over the place. But where the real dumb comes in, there's one piece of video that I just has me shaking my or scratching my head. A guy let some fireworks off, which are, by the way, are illegal in LA County.
Right.
I think there's outside Staples Center, literally let some fireworks off, and the things are just popping up all over the place.
Real quick, what is legal today in L.A. County?
No, not much.
I kind of get a feeling most everything is now against the law.
I mean, obviously this social gathering is against social distancing.
I'm surprised
rules.
Gavin Newsom and his troops weren't around making sure people stayed in their houses.
But pyrotechnics have been illegal in L.A. for a long time because it's wildfire season.
Sure.
But even though they're downtown where, you're probably not going to set a forest on fire downtown, but the where the dumb comes in is just the amount of people who gathered as close as possible to these pyrotechnics going off.
Oh, I know.
And when I say fireworks, I'm talking like these things were shooting up in the air. It was like a gigantic box, and they're just firing up in the air. Not big ones like you would see at amusement parks, but, you know, big enough that if you're trying to jump over it and you catch one the wrong way, you're definitely going to the hospital.
I told you back in 4th of July, my son and his buddy were launching fireworks on a street, and I was like, dude, get away from that thing. What's
yes.
I was like, you guys are crazy. Both of you are going to lose an arm. You ever heard of Jean-Pierre, what was his name?
Jason Pierre-Paul.
Have you ever heard of him?
Exactly.
Guy lost his hand for crying. Now, he was able to come back and play NFL football. But I was like, guys, crazy. Yeah, people do this. I see videos of this all the time where people are launching fireworks, these big containers. You're right. Not bottle rockets or anything.
No.
But these, like, the big box stuff. And they're standing, like, 2 feet away from the thing.
I mean, it's funny. Because he lights it, everyone kind of backs away, and then as they're going off, everyone gets a lot closer again.
Yeah.
And it's almost like they're going to start doing like a fire dance around it. Oh. But I will say this. I got to give one man credit. No idea who he is, but he did show up to the Lakers celebration in a bubble.
Oh, good for him.
Like, you know, picture like Bubble Boy.
Like John Travolta and Bubble Boy. Yeah, like that.
I mean, good just for, a gigantic bubble.
That's
and
pretty
he's
sweet.
Celebrating. So, I mean,
he's pretty awesome.
He's keeping himself safe during these crazy times.
Exactly. That's pretty great. That's pretty great. All right, so that is the good, the bad, and the dumb on a Monday as we continue along on Sports Map Radio. Just a single serving of real ketones, keto energy shots give you sustained energy without the sugar jitters or crash. That's why keto energy shots consistently get 5-star reviews. The secret to keto energy shots is patented all-natural ingredient DBHB. This powerful ingredient revs up your metabolism, turns your body into a fat-burning machine in only minutes, so feel energized while shedding unwanted pounds with real ketones, keto energy shots. All right, more from the NFL from Sunday's games and a look ahead to tonight as we continue on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Right, thanks for joining us as we continue along Sports Map Radio. Don't let a bad battery leave you stranded. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery free of charge. If it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery for your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Keep your car on the road by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. You know, I looked it up because I was, you know, it's one of those things that was in the back of my head. Like, Jim Courier only won 2 French Open, so it wasn't him. That I was thinking of. So there you go. So I didn't. There
Bjorn
it was
Borg?
Actually Bjorn Borg, maybe. Yeah, he won a lot, but it wasn't Jim Courier. I kind of thought it was, but nevertheless. All right. So the NFL yesterday canceling the Denver Broncos. No, I should look. Canceling means it's never coming back. Postponing means it's moved. It's postponed. I got to learn to get that right. I keep saying canceled when I mean postponed. I want to do the NFL a favor here. They've moved their game from tonight to Sunday. So the Broncos and the Patriots will play Sunday. They've moved some more games around to accommodate this, you know, going to week 11 and then the week moves to week 8, et cetera, et cetera. Patriots okay. do not have any positive tests now. So we'll roll along.
Now, with all the shuffling that was going on, right?
Yeah.
Do you feel that they were kind of leaning more towards, hey, let's make the Patriots happy? Because they really didn't have any games moved.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, why would they?
Well, because it was their fault, right?
So they want to make the Patriots happy?
No. I'm not saying they wanted to make them happy, but that's the end result because they really just kind of move one Patriots games, but they gave other teams like, oh, you know, your bye is going to be this week, and you're playing this guy now, and you're playing over here, and you're doing this, and you're doing that.
So when was the Patriots' original bye week? Was it week 6? Is that why it got scheduled there?
Maybe.
Is that why they said, all right, there's
nothing. Because I know the Chargers now have an earlier bye than they had anticipated.
And then let's just figure out. Well, I think they wanted, I think it was a good idea to say, look, if either one of the teams had a bye week in week 6, then you could go, look, we're moving you there, and then we'll take the, it's better for us to shuffle around one team than the other. If we're just moving you to a, like, you take the bye week this week, and then next week you play, that's great. We've got one of the equations already locked in. We don't have to do anything. And then we got to manipulate the other one as much as possible.
At what point do you, if you're an NFL scheduler, do you go, I give up?
Yeah, like, I'm expecting somebody to be crying.
You know,
like
they
the
already
office,
are.
Right?
Somebody huddled in a corner.
I can't do this anymore.
I can't. It's not worth it. You could pay me $1 million a year. I can't do this.
Yeah, exactly. It's got to be tough.
And you know there's the one guy like, hey, man, why don't we just add another week?
Yeah.
Why won't they let us just add another week?
Yeah, that's right. There's one guy like eating a candy bar in the meeting like, hey, why don't we just add on another week to the schedule? They're like, go away. Yes. And then they go, yeah, it's a good idea.
Yeah, no. We need to take away this bye, put this bye here, move this bye over there. And then these two teams that we're going to play this week, we're going to have them play in week 11 now.
Crazy. Absolutely nuts.
This team's going to have a Monday, Thursday, and Sunday game.
Yeah, completely.
Good luck with that.
So has Elias Sports Bureau done the furthest we've gone into the season without a New York team getting a win has been X? Have we done that yet? Has anybody figured out what that is? They're the combined 0-10 Jets and Giants.
Yeah, but you know what? That way. One of them is not like the other.
Oh, no. You're 100% right. The Jets are in full give up, we do not care mode. Like, dude, like you'd think Joe Flacco would be like, hey, man, all right, I'm getting a second chance at this. Let me go out and show what I can do. He looked just as bad as anybody else under center.
You know it's not a good sign when Le'Veon Bell's liking tweets from pundits, sports pundits going, yeah, they should probably, you know, remember when they said that they brought Le'Veon in because they were going to use him more in the passing game?
That's right, yeah.
And he's liking it, saying, yeah. One catch for 5 yards or something like that. I don't know.
One other game that was really eye-opening was the Dolphins going on the road and beating the Niners. Not only beating them, they beat the heck out of them. It was 30-7 at halftime.
Well, not only that, but Jimmy Garoppolo getting benched.
Yeah, Garoppolo got benched.
I love the spin on it, though. Oh, we're using it to protect him. We're doing it to protect Jimmy. He's like,
well, here's the thing. They'll know better than us. Was he really ready to return?
I don't think he was.
See, I don't think he was either. And I think after the Nick Mullins fiasco, that they just went, look, Jimmy, remember, that's the question. What percentage of your starting quarterback is still better than your backup?
Yeah.
And I think Kyle Shanahan just completely misanalyzed that percentage. Because I don't think Garoppolo was ready to return.
He had a 15 passer rating.
Yeah, he was terrible.
15.
I mean, he was terrible. And C.J. Beathard came in, and he wasn't any better. But Fitzpatrick does this every now and then where you go, oh, man, that guy, yeah, maybe he should stay the starter of this team.
Yep.
He does this all the time. He's on these lousy teams, and he just gives you these glimmers and moments where you go, wow, okay, this is why he's lasted as long as he has in this league. Because he's not going to lose every game he starts. And sometimes he'll throw 3 touchdowns and give you a win. You go, wow, we didn't see that on the calendar at all.
Last year, didn't he have like back-to-back 500-yard games?
Yeah, exactly. And then two years when he was with Tampa, he was like the star of the league for the first 3 weeks of the season.
But there is a difference this year, this time around, because he looks like he's having fun.
Yeah, right.
He looks like he's enjoying himself. Like he looks like he's out there playing, I'm not going to be here next year.
I'm telling you, this is the key. This is the key to this kind of position. You got to have a thick skin, right? One, and you got to be really confident in who you are. So you got to really know who you are. And I think Ryan Fitzpatrick has that combination of, look, I went to Harvard, I'm super smart, and you know what? I've stayed in this business I'm not a starter, I'm not a guy that leads you to the playoffs, but I've stayed in this league as long as I have because I'm just good enough to keep on a roster when you need a quarterback while you're grooming somebody else. And there's always going to be teams that are going to need a guy like me where I'm just not going to go and destroy your season. And that's what he does. He is not 17 games good,
no.
Right? But he's good enough in these spurts where you go, man, let's hold off on the development for right now. Like, remember 2 years ago, they were actually talking about him taking over the Buccaneers job for Jameis Winston, which in hindsight makes us go, yeah, of course.
Probably should
but
have.
Back then it was like, wait a minute. Because remember, Winston was suspended, right? He was suspended for that Uber driver issue that he had. And the league, you know, said, look, we don't know exactly what happened, but it's enough in the press to give you a personal conduct suspension. So Fitzpatrick was in for 4 games, and he did really good in those 4 games, but Winston was the number one. He was the number one pick. He was the team starter. But people were like, he's played well enough to keep the job. Here's the Dolphins. We don't know when Tua's ready, when Brian Flores wants to bring in Tua, but Fitzpatrick then goes out there and goes, yeah, I'll throw 3 touchdowns against San Francisco on the road, and it'll make you go, and maybe not quite yet.
Yeah. Oh, we can wait another week.
Yeah. 22 of 28 for 350 and three touchdowns with no picks. That's nearly a perfect game.
It is. I mean,
that's a great, like, unbelievable game.
He is just having fun right now.
Yeah.
I mean, when you watch him play and on the sideline, he's joking, he's smiling. He makes you feel better about yourself when you're watching him play right now.
Exactly.
Because you know, it's like, all right, yeah, he knows he's not the future of the team. But like you said, he knows who he is. And I think that makes a huge difference.
And I think when you see guys that have that kind of role where they're there, but they're there for the reason, right? Ryan Fitzpatrick did not win a battle against Tua. He's there to be the quarterback until Tua's ready, right? Just like he was the backup in Tampa, he's sort of the guy that now has a career of just doing this thing where he holds the position until somebody else supposedly takes it over.
Wasn't he the same for the Jets before Sam Darnold?
Yeah, same. And then he was last year with Josh Rosen, right? I mean, it was the same kind of deal. Like, we'll eventually get Josh Rosen into the swing of things, and it just didn't work out. But, you know, it's just that was an eye-opening game. So last night, the Seahawks played the Vikings, and they came from behind and won and go to 5-0, another thrilling game. But I think I told you this at the beginning of the show. I had this issue last night where I had the NBA Finals on, I had the Sunday Night Football on, and then I wanted to watch Tampa Bay-Houston. They were playing game one of the ALCS. So my TV remote only will allow me to go back and forth between two channels. So I had to remember what channel one of them was on in order to go check on it. I don't have the brain capacity for that with all the stuff that I'm doing. I want to be able to go, I want 1, 2, and 3. And you were like, first world problem. Yeah, that's a first world problem. I had three things to watch last night. And I'm not a picture-in-picture guy. My TV doesn't do that anyway. I was never a big picture-in-picture guy. When I had that before. So I ended up watching, I wanted to see the Lakers, even though it was a blowout. Okay, so I watched a good portion of the Laker game until it got out of control. Then I watched some baseball, then I watched some football, then I was going back to the Laker game just to see if the Heat would make a run. But I wanted to see them win the championship because, look, that's one of the things that I like to see is the moments the clock is ticking down, to see the emotion, to see the celebration, et cetera, et cetera. So I kept flipping back and forth to it to catch it, and I did catch it. But the Tampa Bay-Houston game was really good, and the Seahawks game was really good. So they had a full night of sports last night that was really kind of fun to watch. That Seahawks game was great.
There was too much.
It was too much.
I mean, unfortunately, I didn't watch much of Seahawks-Vikings.
Yeah, that game was really good towards the end.
I mean, even though I wanted to watch it, I saw, like, I kept getting the alerts on my phone and reading Twitter. Everyone was talking about the game. I couldn't flip over because it was Lakers.
Yeah.
Like, I'm watching the Lakers just dominate and demolish a team. I got to watch them finish it out, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Can't call myself a fan if I don't.
Seahawks scored with 15 seconds left to win it.
So, I was annoyed afterwards. I'm like, I probably should have turned it over. Lakers were in cruise control.
Yeah.
Probably should have watched something that was a little more enticing, a little more on the edge of your seat type fun.
And they made like a fourth down stop. I mean, it was really good game. But you're right. I mean, my thing is, look, I don't care who wins a title. I usually watch the title being won because that's an important moment in sports, and I do want to see how the reaction is and all that good stuff. So I was like looking at the clock. Oh, 4 minutes to go. Let me go back to that. Checking in on it just to see it. And then, you're right. It was a lot on the plate last night, especially with baseball going on in a 2-1 baseball game. And just enjoying enjoying all of the bevy of sports last night. So Seahawks go to 5-0, and I mean, it feels like every time they're on national TV, and I think Al Michaels brought this up, feels like every time they go to Seattle, it's just a thrilling, incredible game. We saw that with the Patriots earlier this year, stopping the Pats on the 1 yard line. Seahawks go to 5-0, and the Vikings fall to 1-4, and that's a tough way to lose. So you have that. Plus, you got Baltimore winning with these. I didn't expect Joe Burrow to do anything against the Ravens, but
he did nothing.
He did nothing. And listen, Cincinnati, he can't be sacked 7 times in a game. I don't care what you have to do, but he cannot be sacked 7 times in a football game. Do not destroy this young man, please. He's good. He's going to bring you some playoffs appearances, but don't have him get sacked 7 times in a loss. That's bad. All right, we'll continue. Lee Ellis from The Athletic joining us to talk about the Lakers championship as we continue with Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Lakers are the champs as the NBA closes out the bubble and the season. It was a wild one, yes, but they pulled it off. Lee Ellis joins us from The Athletic on a Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. How are you, my friend?
Very good, Tony. How are you?
I'm very good. So, when this is all said and done, let's get to the big picture first. How will this championship be viewed? I mean, was it difficult? Was it easy? Was it? I mean, when you look at all of the obstacles this league had to put together to make this happen, how will people, do you think, will remember the way the Lakers won this championship?
Well, I think everyone should remember it as one of the most challenging, for sure, because no one had any time to really plan or prepare for this coming into the season. I mean, obviously, when we had the suspension and then we had some 5 months off, basically, before the resumption started, obviously, there was a bit of time to prepare in that sense. But coming into a season, you just don't expect to be finishing a season virtually almost to the day from when the season started last year. So, in that sense, I think this is one of the most challenging championships that the Lakers have ever won, because not only, you know, was the season delayed and then extended, you then had to play, what, 3 months of the season in a confined space in that bubble there in Orlando, where the situation was different, the atmosphere was different, circumstances were like nothing we've ever experienced before. And so eventually one team was going to come through and win, and whoever was going to do it was going to have an incredible story to tell. And I think that's where it stands for the Lakers, that I don't devalue this championship at all. I think this one is one of the ones that we'll probably talk about. Hopefully this will be the only time we ever talk
right.
about one under these circumstances. But I value this as highly as any other championship. The Lakers still had to beat some very good teams. They had to play some great basketball. And they had to close out an incredible team in the Miami Heat. And I think all things considered that the Lakers, you know, they deserve to celebrate this one just as much as the other 16 that they've won.
And it does help that the fact that the NBA did not venture into some different way of doing the postseason, like a single elimination or double elimination or some wild World Cup sort of format. They stayed true to who they were. They, even though it meant more games and the more risk of having teams kind of getting, you know, have a problem with the virus or letting that come in, they stayed to the best of seven, and thus it's the same as if we had gone and played normally.
Yeah, and that's a very good point, because I was someone who was skeptical coming in when the league first announced that they were going to play this bubble concept. I was like, just get straight to the playoffs, make the first round best of three, second best of five, and then if no one's got the virus by then, just try to make the last two best of seven. But instead, the foresight and the preparation by Adam Silver in the league office to plan this out and to prepare the bubble so that they could play good, high-quality basketball, and as you say there, the normal, traditional playoff style, I think is a real credit to how the league handled this, because, you know, no one really knew exactly how it was going to come off, and the league was taking a big risk by even playing those regular season games, because I thought the situation would have been better to just get to the playoffs and end the season as quickly as possible and crown a champion. But the league tried to make it as accommodating as possible. Now, obviously, we didn't get every team there, but they opened it up to 22 teams, and we had some really good competitive regular season basketball, and then, you know, the actual playoff standard basketball I thought was fantastic. I mean, when you look at some of the games that we saw, some of the buzzer beaters, you know, you go back to Luka Doncic and OG Anunoby and the Bam Adebayo block. I mean, some moments that we will remember as those huge playoff moments that we remember any other season, and they happen down in the bubble as well. So I really think the NBA just really hit this out of the park. They did a fantastic job. Zero positive tests as well for COVID that whole time down there, which is remarkable. But it also just shows that, you know, if you do have the proper planning and preparation and people follow the guidelines, and it's not a huge ask either. I mean, you just have to wear a mask and wash your hands. Things like this can be achieved. So
yeah.
this is just a remarkable feather in Adam Silver's cap here. He's done, as the leader of the NBA, he's done a remarkable job. Now, he doesn't take full credit. He spreads it around, because obviously there was so many people involved in this process. But ultimately, the person at the top of the pile is Adam Silver, and he deserves an enormous amount of credit this morning.
Lee Ellis joining us from The Athletic, also the host of No Dunks podcast. You can find that there as well. All right, we'll get to the winners because there's a little bit to unpack there, but let's get to the team that was taken out, Miami. They made it to the finals. A lot of people just loved what Jimmy Butler did. A lot of people just give them a lot of credit for staying in this series through six games. The offseason can bring a lot of changes, a lot of turnover. Are the Heat here to stay? How do you view Miami?
Well, that's a really interesting question, because coming into the bubble, I think people sort of saw the Heat as a team that, you know, yeah, they could get past the Indiana Pacers, but I don't think many expected them to get past the Bucks and the Celtics and then push the Lakers.
Right.
And so much of that was led by Jimmy Butler, but it wasn't just Jimmy Butler. I mean, Bam Adebayo was brilliant against the Celtics, and Goran Dragic was like FIBA Goran Dragic, you know, the guy who sort of lifts when he's playing for his country in those international tournaments. And then we saw the revelation of the younger players in Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero. I mean, 20-year-old Tyler Hero put 37 points up on the Boston Celtics in the conference finals there. So there's some incredible pieces there to the Miami Heat team. And of course, you know, Jimmy Butler's got the big contract, and Bam Adebayo's up for his extension soon. So as always with these situations, you know, guys want to get paid now because they've performed on the big stage, and that's going to be the challenge for the Miami Heat. He's trying to keep, obviously, the younger players there, the core players there, but also trying to keep them all under the salary cap, because, you know, guys like Duncan Robinson, I mean, he's going to command a huge salary because he's one of those guys who's showed that he can be a difference maker on a final team by hitting all those threes. And again, Tyler Hero, another young guy. Like, he's not quite ready, of course, for his extension to his contract yet. But, again, the performance he put on here certainly drew a lot of eyes to him. So, you know, the Heat have got some questions. Dragic is the interesting one, really, because he's a free agent now. And the Heat have around about $20 to $25 million in cap space. I mean, we don't know that final number yet because the season. I feel sorry for those guys who have to figure out what the cap is for next season.
Yeah,
because,
right.
I have no idea what it's going to be. I mean, we had obviously the stuff at the start of season with the China incident, of course, there with Daryl Morey, and then all the TV revenue that we missed out on. So I'm not sure how they're going to calculate it, but whatever they do, that's obviously going to impact every single team in the league. And a guy like Dragic, who, you know, he's 35 now, he's a little bit older, but he still showed that he can play in those big moments, and he still showed that he can perform. So he's going to get interest, and he's going to get paid a lot of money. And that's the challenge for Mickey Arison and Pat Riley there in the Heat front office, is how they keep this team now competitive. Because, you know, someone like Jimmy Butler, he doesn't want to take a step back. He's in his win now mode, so he needs players around him who can help get him to the highest level.
All right, let's go to the Lakers now. And this is the thing with LeBron. He goes to a team, he leaves a team, and then within 2 years, they win a title. And I was talking about this earlier. We hear how tough it is to win championships in every sport. But if he's able to do this, this is something. He talked about wanting respect. I don't know who's not giving him respect, but how does LeBron's legacy, how is it enhanced by, how much more is it enhanced by this?
Yeah, I mean, it's an incredible achievement, of course, because, you know, apart from last season, we're just used to LeBron getting to the NBA Finals. And when he went to L.A., it was like, can he get the Lakers back to where they feel they belong? And that's by winning championships, and now he's done it. But, of course, he had a huge help this time by having Anthony Davis on his team, which he didn't have last season. So, you know, Anthony Davis is in his prime, or entering his prime, however you want to sort of, you know, broadcast that. But LeBron is still clearly the most effective player on his team, as we saw here in the finals, because he just doesn't take a step back. He just continues to perform. He put up, I believe it was his 11th triple-double in the final in NBA history, which is just an incredible performance. So, you know, as long as LeBron's there, the team is still going to be competitive. Now, like every other team, expect a few changes in Los Angeles. They've got a few free agents and a few guys who just simply won't be back. I mean, that's the way it goes in the NBA. But as long as you've got LeBron and Anthony Davis, then you know they're going to remain competitive. And as far as LeBron's legacy and all that sort of chat, well, now he has four out of 10 championships. I mean, he's a little bit closer to Michael in winning those six. So now, I mean, this is the sort of debate that we'll never get an answer on anyway. We'll never be able to agree on. Everybody has their own opinion on it. But the closer he gets to winning the same amount of titles that Michael has, certainly makes that conversation more interesting, because, yeah. You know, it's. But like I say, we're never going to get to a point where everyone is in agreement that, okay, we've finally figured out who's number one and who's number two. But certainly for LeBron, I'm happy for him because he's the sort of guy who came into this league with enormous expectations, and 17 years after his first game, almost to the day, in fact, LeBron's celebrating his fourth championship. And the hardest thing, I think, to do in any sport, no matter who you are, is to live up to expectations. And LeBron, I think, has more than done that. And people will criticize him and say he's lost six finals, but it's like, well, he's been in 10. So, and apart from Michael, there's virtually no superstar who hasn't, not won the champ. You know, Larry sure. Bird, Michael Jordan, Dr. J, Kareem, all these other legends have also lost in the finals. Michael is just the outlier, but that's what made him so special. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, Michael was a great player. LeBron's a great player. It doesn't bother me how anyone ranks them. I've just enjoyed seeing both of them perform to the level they have, and for them to win some championships, because it's great to see someone like LeBron, who has achieved so much, still so hungry, and he's got that same desire to go out there and win and succeed, 17 years after his NBA career began.
Frank Vogel, how much influence did he have over this team? We don't really get into coaching as much unless it's Phil Jackson or Greg Popovich or whoever. But Frank Vogel, how much was he, and how much credit do we give him for this?
Yeah, that's a tougher question, I think, to answer. And I think I'll give Frank the credit by saying I think he did the right thing by not necessarily coaching so much, but just managing the team. Because when you have all that talent and those expectations, you know, again, no disrespect at all to Frank Vogel, but you don't have to be a great coach. You just have to be able to put those guys in the right position right. to succeed. And they did that, because if you look at Frank Vogel's last job in Orlando, they were not a very good team. And again, it comes back to the talent. So I give Frank credit because he kind of stayed out of his own way and didn't try to become in there and try to act like a Greg Popovich or someone who's going to lay down the law and say, this is how it's done. Instead, it's like, okay, we've got this enormous talent. We've got some great bench. Let's just try to put these guys in the best position they can be to highlight their skills. Clearly, the team runs through Anthony Davis and LeBron James. And then if you have those complementary role players around them, you know, like the Kyle Kuzmas and like the Markieff Morris and those guys, Alex Caruso as well, if those guys can just come in and contribute, then you can put yourself in a chance to win. So, I don't think anyone looks at this, and I know Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy kind of argued a little bit about this last night, whether this was a hard job or an easy job for Frank Vogel. I lean towards the fact that it wasn't hard because you've got this talent, and that's primarily what it's all about in the NBA. You need to have the talent first. So I look at it more like, be smart about this, and just manage this team rather than in there. You know, you don't need to draw up plays for LeBron James. He knows how to operate and execute at both ends of the floor. But you've just got to make sure that those other players, everyone understands their role and everyone understands what's expected of this team. So, like he deserves some credit, but I'm certainly not quite ready to put him in that same group sure. as a Greg Popovich or a Phil Jackson just yet.
Lee Ellis, you can find him at The Athletic. We've loved your insight into the NBA this year. We like your accent too. That's one of the other reasons we love you, Lee.
that's a great thing about basketball, though. It really is a global game, and right. people from all around the world were enjoying last night and this whole bubble concept. And that's the thing about it. You know, basketball brings people together, and it's such an honor to be able to cover this sport and talk about it for a living.
Absolutely. We love you, man. We'll come. We'll hope to get you when this the whole thing starts up again within a couple months.
Okay. Anytime, Tony. You got my details there, so look forward to it.
Look forward to it. Lee Ellis helping us root a wrap on the NBA season, the 2019/20 experiment. And like I said, we're going to get rolling along. It'll be the draft, and the season will start up again. All right, coming up, we'll wrap up the show. One thought on Monday Night Football tonight as we continue on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, one NFL game tonight, not two. You're not getting that Broncos-Patriots game you were all craving for at what?
Boo.
6 o'clock Eastern time when that thing was supposed to go off? You're getting the Saints and the Chargers, so enjoy that, America. Only one game for you tonight.
I will be enjoying it.
I know you will be enjoying it. You know who will not be enjoying it is Michael Thomas, who is not going to play tonight. after he punched a teammate. The dude's been out with that ankle injury we've talked about before.
Was it an ankle injury? Was it a toe injury? I don't know.
Whatever that injury was that was like, getting better, and then he doesn't play.
The Kevin Durant injury?
Yeah, the Kevin Durant. We called it the Kevin Durant injury. One of those that is just going to linger enough to keep you out, but we're never 100% sure what's going on. But anyway, he was... He got into an altercation with a teammate at practice. There you go. And thus was disciplined by the Saints, the official wording of it.
He was ready to come back.
Ready to come back and help this team that's 2-2 and kind of like on the precipice. Like, don't let it get away from you, man. Like, you know, Tampa Bay's 3-2, Carolina's 3-2. You got to join the fray.
What kind of conversation is that? Like, you know, does Drew Brees reach out to him and say, come on, man, I needed you.
Are you kidding me?
Everyone's saying I'm old. Everyone's saying I'm washed up.
Yeah. You know, I'm 17th in the league in passing. That's not normally what I like to do. So if you wouldn't mind actually just, you know, calming down for a second so you can actually play with us, that'll be fantastic.
Yeah. Everyone on social media is already saying, oh, well, who's the Saints replacement for next year?
Right. Michael Thomas getting suspended. Stupid.
It is funny, though.
I mean, it really is, to be honest with you. It really is.
Well, that, but it's also funny in the sense of you.
Yeah, I know. Because that was my pick.
Like, you know, if you look at Eitan, if you look at Matt Peralt, you know, their number one picks actually got an injury.
You're right. Right.
Yours is just suspended for being
put him in the lineup. Dumb. And then he punches a teammate. C.J. Gardner-Johnson took you know, and then he's got to be quiet. Thanks, Michael Thomas. Don't think I won't forget this at Christmas time. All right, the Jake Asmund Show coming up next. Thanks for joining us on a Monday. Continue along with the Sports Map Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.